Number 202. What will...
Beginning with verse 11.
John chapter 17 and verse 11. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them.
Something very sweet in the Lord's Prayer here in this first verse we read. He felt the fact that he was leaving those disciples with whom he had walked, and that he had kept them and provided for their every need. And so he says, Holy Father, keep through thine own name, that's the name of the Father, those whom thou hast given me. Then the desire for oneness, oneness in communion, we believe, as we've spoken of. And there's kind of a corresponding verse in Hebrews 2, some verses that go very well with this, and I think develop truth a little further. We see Jesus in Hebrews 2:9, and then the oneness in kind that we have spoken of in verse 11, and then beginning verse 12, Hebrews 2:12, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. We find that all the way through John's gospel, that Jesus makes the Father known to us. And then he goes on and says, in the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. This is taken from the 22nd Psalm, where it says, in the midst of the congregation will I sing praise unto thee. But the word is changed, in the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. Brethren, I believe that the Lord Jesus was with us yesterday, joining in our singing. But the next verse says, and again I will put my trust in him. That goes back to Holy Father, keep through thine own name those thou hast given me. So it goes all the way through this dispensation, those who are the love gift of the Father, of the Father to the Son. The Lord here asks the Father, you keep them. I'm going to trust you to keep them while I'm not down here in this world.
Wonderful thing, oneness in communion. Communion really means common thoughts. And isn't it a marvelous thing, brethren, that we can sit here and have the thoughts of God himself, the thoughts concerning his Son, the work that he has accomplished, the thoughts of what he has in store for us as those who are brought into such a place of blessing, and that we can be consciously enjoying the fact that we are children before the Father, that he cares for us about everything, and the purposes that he has for our blessing in the Father's house. Well, I believe this is it. But as we were remarking before, if we're going to enjoy this, we must remember that God our Father is a holy Father, and it's sin allowed, the flesh allowed in our lives that hinders that communion. And so we need the Lord's intercessory work to keep us, his work as our advocate when we have failed, but particularly his intercessory work to keep us, that we might be kept, realizing that the one in whom we are trusting, he's holy and true. And he introduces himself in that way to the assembly at Philadelphia. He's the one that's holy and true. Here was an assembly that there was much that the Lord could find delight in. And if he's going to find delight in us, brethren, we must remember that he's holy, but he delights to have our company. And how marvelous to think that a few of us here, as we might say, insignificant nobodies as far as the world is concerned, can enter into and enjoy what's in the heart of God. Marvelous, and call him our Father.
James chapter 1 and verse 17, where he takes on the character of the Father of lights. And in that chapter, we have the battle with temptation and being drawn into lust. And we're plainly in a wicked world, and we feel its wickedness day after day. But he is the Father of lights to expose that which would take our hearts away, in which there is no shadow, no shadow or variableness of turning. What a character our Father has taken as the Father of lights for our preservation.
God is light and God is love. That's nice to see the Father of lights, and So he knows all, and he opens up himself and who he is, and God is love. And he wants our company has been stated and companionship, and he doesn't want to wait till he gets us there. We've had referred to us, we might go back to it, John 14, where we have God is love made known in communion. God has, in his light, come out and made himself known as God is love in at least four ways to the whole world, John 3:16, to the family in Hebrews 12, and here in John 14, it's communion, the love of communion. And you get it in two verses. The 21st verse, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. You see, it takes obedience. He that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. There is communion enjoyed now with the Father and with the Son. And the 23rd verse is likewise, Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words. There comes in obedience. In order to have that communion, there has to be obedience. And my Father will love him. God makes himself known as our Father in love, the love of communion, and he wants it. And we, he makes the promise, we will come unto him and make our abode with him. That's right now. So don't we want to obey in order to enjoy this love of communion? So the oneness in communion is in our 11th verse. As we remarked yesterday, this is the first oneness expressed in this chapter. And there has to be the oneness in communion in order to have oneness in testimony. Well, we've remarked on that, but the order is right. Oneness in communion. And it's through obedience to his word, through his obedience to his commandments, because the Father of lights made it all known in the scriptures.
I'd like to connect that passage in James chapter 1 with the 28th chapter of Exodus, the breastplate of the high priest. There were three things connected with that breastplate. The names were written upon his heart. Names were carried upon his shoulders. But inside that breastplate that was on his heart, there were the there were the Urim and Thummim, which means light and perfection. And so this is a lovely thought, I believe, brethren. We've been reminded in the prayer meeting about how many trials the Lord's people are going through. Isn't it lovely to think that he has the power, all the power that's needed? He carries us upon his shoulders, like the shepherd carrying us home rejoicing. He carries us upon our heart. And it's interesting to notice that the stones on the heart were in the breastplate were all different. And here's a number of people. We're all different. We all have different needs. We all have different personalities and dispositions. And isn't it wonderful? The Lord enters into every one of us as individuals and sees us as such upon his shoulders. That is, they were just written on two similar stones, onyx stones, because we all have an equal place of security, but we have an individual place upon his heart. And then underneath what was hidden, but we really don't know exactly what it was, we just know the meaning of the words, lights and perfections. We may not, brethren, understand a lot of God's ways with us, but he's the Father of lights. He knows exactly what I need, what you need, what every one of us individually need in order to carry us through this wilderness. And as our great high priest, he's living for us there above. And so in this chapter in James, he's speaking to them in a practical way. He said, do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift comes from above. He's just been warning of the danger of wanting things because of our lusts. And isn't that true that very often we lust after something and we think, I just can't live without that thing. I've got to have it. And we err when we feel that we're going to get something good through our lusts. Everything that's good comes from the will and heart of God. Every blessing that we know for time and eternity, all His ways with us, it's always in the perfection of His will. And that's why in Israel's history, we see the godly kings, when they found themselves in a difficulty, they called for the Urim and Thummim. And in other words, they sought the Lord's mind. So here we are, a number of believers in this room, and we're sitting here. This is the Lord's high priestly prayer, brethren, this 17th of John. And He's entering into every one of us and our needs individually. He has the strength to carry us, but He's the Father of lights. He knows exactly what I need. As for God, His way is perfect, and there isn't a thing that happens in my life or yours that isn't in the perfect wisdom of God. We think sometimes, oh, if I could just get out of that, but submission to His will and the path of obedience is, as our brother's been remarking, it's the path of communion. It's common thoughts with God, and we're able to walk through this world because of that priesthood in the enjoyment of that communion, and then going on, of course, in service, in testimony, and also looking forward to the future when all will be displayed in its perfection and we'll see the wisdom of all His ways. And I might just add that in the fifth chapter of Revelation, where the redeemed are seen in heaven, I think we see something of that thought, where it says, "And the four living creatures said, Amen." Now we don't always say Amen to God's ways. We don't like to say, "So let it be." That's what Amen is. We don't like to say that. But when we get to glory, we're going to say, "So let it be. Amen. Everything He did with me was right. I may have erred in many times myself because I wanted my own way, but I'm going to say His ways with me are perfect." And then the 24 elders fell down and worshipped Him. That's the redeemed. You and I will be by grace among that 24 elders saying, and we'll be worshiping Him and seeing that it was His grace through the blood that brought us there and the wisdom of His ways that carried us there.